You know, there's many different kinds of people here tonight, different people in different stages of life. Back in the toddler room, there's, little guys. They haven't even formulated their dreams for life yet. In this auditorium, there are some grade school children. They're just starting to figure out what life is about. There's some young people here, maybe getting ready to go to college or in college or just graduated from college. And again, depending on what station of life they're in, they're either looking forward to high school graduation, college graduation, getting a job, getting married, you know, having children, having a career. There's young married folks here that are starting out in life, trying to figure out how to pay for a house and pay for a car and meet all the obligations that come with starting a family and starting a life. There's middle-aged people here, like me, who have young grandchildren. Just kidding. I'm beyond that stage. But have young grandchildren and are enjoying their grandchildren. I saw those three little boys running around this morning after church, Aaron and Travis and Brandon. And I said, man, oh man, I hope they don't have three boys and try to leave them with grandpa. So there's some of those folks here tonight. There's some seniors here tonight. Maybe those that are looking forward to retirement, maybe those that have just retired, maybe those that have been retired for a long time. And, they look at life a little bit different than the grade schoolers and the young people that are here tonight. And yet, here's the premise of my message tonight. Regardless of what your situation is in life, every single one of us face a question. How do I get where God wants me to be? How do I get to that place that He set for me to get at? How do I get there, especially when I don't know where it is and I don't know how to get there? You see, some of us in the room may understand the question, you know, how do I get to where I'm supposed to be, a lot more than others understand the question. Certainly those that are in the auditorium understand it a whole lot better than those little folks back in the toddler room. But even those of us that have enjoyed a lot of years in life still don't know how to answer that question. How do I get to where God wants me to be when I'm not exactly sure where it is and I sure don't know how to get there? Well, tonight I'm going to give you the answer to that question. The answer to the question, how do I get where I'm supposed to be when I don't know where it is or how to get there? And the answer is going to surprise you because it's the same answer for every single person in the room. Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your station of life is. Doesn't matter what you're going through right now or where you are. The way to get to where God wants you to be when you don't know where it is nor how to get there is to walk with Him. Walk with Him. I looked up the word walk in the dictionary. There were 20 or so definitions of the word walk. But here's the one that I like best, the one that serves my purpose tonight for my message. And the definition I'm going to use tonight of walking is to move by planting one foot, lifting up the other one and moving it forward, planting it, and then lifting up the other one and move it forward, planting it, and then lifting up the other one and move it forward and planting that. And that's the definition I'm going to use for walk. Say, well, preacher, that's kind of dumb. Don't you think we know that? Yeah, I think you know that. But I think most of us take it for granted. I mean, we don't think about when we're walking, well, I'm planting, lifting, and moving. I'm planting, lifting, and moving. I'm planting, lifting, and moving. If we thought about it, we'd just look as silly as I just did trying to walk. So it's something that we do naturally. It's something that we do without thinking about it. And to get to where we're supposed to be when we don't know where it is and we don't know how to get there, it's pretty simple. We just need to walk with God. The scripture that we read tonight from Amos chapter 3 asks a series of rhetorical questions. And of course, the answer to all of them is no. But the first one I direct your attention to tonight, can two walk together except they be agreed? Two cannot walk together. You cannot walk with somebody else. Hey, Ed, come up here for a second and help me. Ed, come here for a second. Ed and I cannot walk together unless we're in agreement, okay? Unless we're in agreement, okay? If we are in agreement on some certain things, okay, just walk with me. We can walk together, okay? But if we disagree, he's either going to be ahead, or he's going to be behind, or he's going to be going in that direction, and I'm going to be going in that direction. And so the two of us cannot walk together unless we be agreed, right? Okay, thank you. Go sit down. All right. So, to walk with God, we have to agree on three different things. First of all, we have to agree on where we're going. We have to agree on where we're going. If Ed and I are going to walk together, we got to agree that we're going to the same place. I mean, if he thinks we're going one place and I think we're going someplace else, it's going to be hard for us to walk together. So we have to agree on where we're going. Now, the problem is, I don't know where we're going. I have no idea the destination, the destiny. I have no idea where God wants me to end up. I don't know. But the one I'm walking with does. If I'm walking with God, he knows where he wants me to get to tomorrow. And he knows where he wants me to get next week. And he knows where he wants me to be next month. He knows where he wants me to be at next year. He knows 5 years, 10 years, at the end of my life, God knows where he wants me to be. And so if I walk with God, I just need to agree with him that where he is walking, I am walking. And he will, because he knows the destination, he will get me to where he wants me to be tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Think about Abraham. Abraham lived in Ur of the Chaldees, and God came to him. He says, I want you to move. And Abraham asked the question that all of us would ask, where to? You want me to move? Where to? And God says, don't worry about it. Just walk with me, and I'll tell you when we get there. And Abraham says, okay, I'll just trust you. I'll have faith. And the Bible says that faith was counted to him for righteousness. And so as God lifted, moved, and planted, lifted, moved, and planted, here was Abraham walking beside of him, planting, lifting, moving, planting, lifting, moving. It's hard to walk when you're thinking about it. And finally they got to the spot, and God says, okay, we're here. We can stop now. You're home. I remember the summer when I was 16 years old. My dad decided we were going to take a car trip. There's three boys. We had a 67 Catalina. I was 16 in May of 67, and so he had a new Pontiac. And he loaded the three boys and my mom in the car, and we were going to drive to California. Took 3 weeks, 21 days. And we were going to go up by the northern route. So, you know, we went through Illinois and Wisconsin and Minnesota and the Dakotas and all the states. And then they had some friends in California who used to live across the street from us. And we stayed with them when we went to California. And then we would come back. We came back to southern route. And took us the whole 3 weeks. Took us 21 days. And so we were in the car the first day. And I think it was my brother says, well, where are we going today? And my dad said, well, I don't know. We'll just drive. And when I see a spot that I think looks good, we'll stop. And so we drove. And We came to a spot, and he says, "Well, I think this is a pretty good spot to stop at." And so he pulled into a motel, and he went in and came back with a room key. Always got a room where there was a swimming pool so that we could swim, eat, and sleep. And that's what we basically did every night. Although we got to go to some ball games as we were traveling, because we all four of us like ball games. And so that happened the first day. I said, "I don't know, we'll just get to a spot that looks good to me, and we'll stop." Second day, my other brother asked, "Well, where are we going tonight, Dad?" He said, "Well, I don't know, we'll just drive, and when I see a spot that looks pretty good, we'll stop and do the same thing we did last night." And that happened the second day. Happened the third day. Fourth day. Happened every day. On day 19, we were on our way home. Day 19, we said, "Well, where are we going tonight?" And Dad said, "Well, I don't know. I'll just, when I see a spot that looks good, we'll stop and get a motel, and you guys can swim. We'll get something to eat and go back, go to bed." So I said, "Well," so we pulled into this motel. Now, by the way, this is the first time any of us ever stayed in a motel. I mean, my mom and dad might have before then. I'm sure they did. But this is the first time any of us boys, I was 16, my brother was 14, my other brother was 11. First time any of us has ever stayed in a motel. We didn't know anything about staying in a motel. You know, we really liked it when we got those motels. I don't think they have them anymore. You could put a quarter in the machine and the bed would just jiggle you like that. Oh, we love that. But it was all new to us. Night number 19, Dad pulled into this motel like he had the other 18 nights. He said, "I think this spot looks good." So I said, "Dad, can I go in to the hotel with you to see how this works?" He said, "Well, sure, come on." So we walk in the door, and he goes up to the counter, and he says, "Reservation for Manning." And I looked at him, and I said, "What's a reservation? What's a reservation?" He said, "Well, you call ahead and reserve a room so that when you get there, you have a room." And I looked at him and I said, "I thought we were just driving to a spot that looked good to you and then we'd stop." He said, "Well, that's true. But your mom and I sat down before we left and we picked out the spots that looked good. And we just made sure we got there every night." Now, so let me just finish the story. The only nights that we ask, "Are we there yet?" was night number 20, the last night we spent in the hotel, and night number 21 when we got home yet, because we didn't know that he knew if we were there yet. So there was method behind his madness. But yeah, but here's my point. That's the way God works with us. Our Heavenly Father says, "Well, just walk with me. And when I see a spot that looks good, we'll stop for a while." And we stop. He says, "Come on, let's walk a little more. And when I see a spot that looks good, we'll stop again." He said, "I think this spot looks pretty good." And he stops us again. Now, you see, again, in my mind, my dad pictured God. He knew where we were going every day. I didn't. My brothers didn't. But he did. He knew where we were supposed to get every day. I didn't have to worry about it. I just had to trust him enough to get in the car and ride with him, that he would get me to where we needed to be every night. And the same thing is true as we walk with God. You don't know where you need to get at the end of the day. You don't know where you need to get by the end of tomorrow. You don't know where you need to be at the end of next week or at the end of next month or at the end of the next year. But our Heavenly Father does. He does. All we have to do is trust Him enough to say, "Okay, as He lifts, moves, plants, lifts, moves, plant, so will I. So will I." I just need to agree that I don't know where we're going, but He does. And so I'm going to walk with Him because I agree with Him on the destination where we are going. And that's what God says to us tonight. He said it to Enoch. "Hey, Enoch, just walk with me." And Enoch did for 365 some years. And I can picture and hear the conversation in my mind. Enoch's walking with God, and one day God says, "Hey, Enoch, we're close to my home. Why don't you just come home with me? Just come home with me." And Enoch went home with God. One of two people that didn't die got to go home with God. Let's just walk with God. Let's agree that he knows where we need to be. We don't, but he does. Let's just agree that we're going to go in the direction that he goes. If we're going to walk together, we need to agree on something else. Not only do we need to agree on where we're going, we need to agree on the way that we are going to get there. In most cases, there's more than one way to get from point A to point B. If I was going over Brother Kenny's house tonight, there's probably 18 different ways that we could go and still arrive at his house. I don't know what the best way to take is. I don't. In life, I don't know what's the best way to take to where God wants me to get where he wants to go. I mean, there may be different paths to get there, but I can't see down the road. I can't see around the curve. I can't see what's beyond the left-hand turn and the right-hand turn. I can't see the different obstacles, potholes, and detours there may be in the way. But God can. God can. And so how do I get to where he wants me to be when I don't know where it is or how to get there? I walk with him. Because he not only knows where we're going, he knows the best way to get there. In Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, narrow is the way that leadeth to life." And I know the primary meaning of that, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute. I mean, the primary meaning is there is a narrow way that leads to heaven, and there is a broad way that leads to hell. But I think these verses also apply to us as Christians as we live our life. There is a narrow way that God wants us to take to where he wants us to get. And again, if we walk with him, he'll walk us in that narrow way. Most of the times when we get into problems, it's because we come up with an idea. We're like Ford. We have a better idea than God. Okay, remember they used to advertise, "Ford has a better idea." Sometimes we're just like him. God says, "Look, I know where I want you to get, and I have a way all picked out, and it's the best way. It's the absolute," because God can see. He can see what's beyond the curve. He can see what's behind the left-hand turn and the right-hand turn and the left-hand turn. He can see all that. He says, "Come on, you walk with me, and I will show you the best way to get to where I want you to go." But again, we get into trouble when we say, "Oh, we got a better idea than God did." Remember the story of Achan? Remember when the Israelites were going to fight and take Jericho? And God told them, he told Joshua, he said, "Now look, when you go into Jericho, everything that's in the city is mine. Everything. Everything's in, I don't want anybody taking any gold or silver or anything else that you find in the city. Everything is mine." Achan said, "I got a better idea." And he saw a wedge of gold, he saw some silver, he saw some clothes. And the Bible says that he took those and he hid them in his tent. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story this morning, but he was discovered. And as a result of him disagreeing with God, he was stoned, family was stoned, all his kids, I mean his wife, his kids, all of them lost their life because Achan said, "I got a better idea than God does. I have a different way that I want to go." God hasn't changed. He has a way that he wants us to walk to get where he wants us to be. Again, as he lifts, moves, plants, we just need to be beside of him, walking in the same way. Going not only to the same destination, but going the same way. And then number three, if we're walking together with God, we not only need to agree on where we're going, we not only need to agree on the destination, we also need to agree on the pace. On the pace. Ed and I can't walk together unless we're going at the same speed. I mean, he's either going to be behind or ahead. Do you ever stop and think that God set the pace for the Israelites with the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night? You ever stop and think that as that cloud moved, they moved? And they didn't get ahead of it, and I don't think they lingered too far behind it. They moved at the same pace that the cloud moved. They moved at the same pace as the pillar of fire moved. And if we're going to walk with God, we need to move at the same pace He does. Here's our problem. Too many times we get ahead of God, and too many times we lag behind Him. When I was growing up, I always liked to spend time with my grandparents, both sets, but my mom's parents, they lived on the east side of Detroit, and I enjoyed going over there, and I spent a lot of time over there. My grandpa was the church treasurer, and he does it different than Brother Larry did, because he would take all the money home and then count it on Monday morning and take it to the bank. And so when I was over there as a 7 or 8 year old kid, he would let me help him count the money. He wouldn't let me handle the checks. He wouldn't let me handle the cash, but he let me handle the coins. And so I learned to stack the pile, and 20 nickels and 50 dimes and 40 quarters. And back then you had to stamp the name of your church on the roll that you put the coin in. So I would stamp the rolls, and then I would roll the coins. Now, my grandpa always had a chart on a piece of paper that how long they were supposed to be so that he could double check that I'd put the right amount in the roll and not, you know, mess up at the bank. And so he would get the deposit all ready, and then we'd go to the bank. Now, my grandpa didn't have a car. I don't think he ever drove. And so we would walk to the bank. Now, he was in his 70s at that time, and he had arthritis. And he walked with a cane. And he walked slow. Now, when you're a kid, you know, you don't worry about making somebody feel bad because they're walking slow. When you're a kid, you just walk. Doesn't matter that grandpa's, you know, half a block behind you. You just walk. And you want to, I can remember many times, like, come on, grandpa, hurry up. And I can remember he'd always say to me, just slow down and smell the flowers. And I looked around. I said, there ain't no flowers around here. It's just a street. He said, just slow down. So I was always ahead of him until I got old enough to where I realized that, you know, I probably ought to slow down and walk with him as opposed to getting out ahead of him. So, I mean, in that situation, I was out ahead of him. We weren't walking at the same pace. We were going the same place, and we were going the same way. But I was going a lot faster than he was. And sometimes we're like that with God. We want things to happen right now. I mean, and we get ahead of God, and we say, hey, you know, sort of like Sarah did. Hey, you know, I'm not having any babies. Why don't you go in to my handmaid and have a baby by her? And she got ahead of God. And sometimes that's what we do. We get ahead of God. We don't want to walk at the same pace that He wants us to walk at. Other times we lag behind. I remember when I first went to work, I was 18 years old, graduated from high school. I'd never been in a factory before. And I went to work at Truck and Bus. And the second week, we had inventory. And I was assigned to a guy named Harold. His name was Harold. He was only about this tall. But man, that guy walked faster than any person I had known in my whole life. And it was effortless. He'd just start walking. And to be honest with you, I had to run to keep up with Harold. Many, many times he'd look back, hey, Manning, come on! I said, okay. And I'd get into a trot and try to catch up to him. Now, I wasn't walking with him because he was walking a whole lot faster than I was. Again, we were going the same place and we were going the right way, the same way, but we weren't going at the same pace. I was behind. That's sometimes what we do with God. We get behind. We don't want to go as fast as He wants us to go. We hold back. We're not walking with Him because, again, we're behind Him. How do I get where I'm supposed to be when I don't know where it is and I don't know the way? I walk with God. As He lifts, moves, and plants, I lift, move, and plant. And He'll get me to where I need to be, the way I need to go, at the pace I need to move. Now, as I close, let me tell you one more thing. There's one place that God wants every single person to go, and that's heaven. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he wants everybody and everybody to go to heaven. There's only one way to get there. Jesus said, "I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me." You don't get to heaven by good works. You don't get to heaven by joining a church. You don't get to heaven by being baptized. You don't get to heaven by taking communion. You get to heaven when you realize that you're a sinner and there's a penalty for that sin, and that Jesus Christ paid the penalty on the cross. He paid for every one of our sins. And when we realize that and ask him to save us, the Bible says he will. He will. That's the only way. It's only one way. You can't, there, you know, in most other situations, there's many, many ways to get from here to where you need to go. But to get to here, to heaven, there's only one way. And that way is Jesus Christ. And the pace is now. The pace is right now. The Bible says today's the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It's not tomorrow. It's not next week. It's not yesterday. You can't do it yesterday if you haven't done it. The only time that you have to do it is right now. Right now. And so if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, could I invite you to walk with him? Gary sang that song. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the only way that he can tell you that you are his own is if you are. And the only way you become his is by coming through Jesus Christ. And then if you do that, you can sing the rest of it. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Let me tell you tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're missing life. You say, "Oh, preacher, you don't know me. I'm living my life. I'm enjoying it." Yeah, for a while. But your life doesn't end when your body dies. It goes on forever and ever and ever. One of two places, heaven or hell. Heaven or hell. And Jesus makes the difference. And so if you're here tonight, you say, "Preacher, I didn't come expecting to do anything tonight." That's okay. God had a plan for you. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. To hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make a decision for him. And so if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you do it tonight? Again, I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to join this church. I think both of those are pretty good things. That's not what I'm asking you tonight. I'm asking you to become part of the family of God. And you only do that through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. And I pray, first of all, for the many Christians that are here. Help us to realize that the only way that we can get to where you want us to be is to walk with you. Help us just to have the same faith that Abraham did, the same faith that Enoch did, to just as you lift, move, and plant, we do the same thing. Because we agree on the destination, we agree on the path, and we agree on the pace. So I pray that we'd fall in beside you tonight, and we'd walk with you. And then, Father, I pray for those that might be here tonight that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I pray, Father, that they could see their sin, they could see the penalty for that sin, and they could see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. As we pictured, his body was broken, his blood was shed to pay for their sin. And I pray tonight that they could see that, understand it, come and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Just bless this time of invitation, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.